This is a podcast about living out of intimacy, a conversation over coffee about a living God whose desire is to live out of you. Pour yourself a cup of coffee and join us. I'm Jason Goodson.
And I'm Johnny Taylor.
And this is Coffee and Conversations.
And we have our red light.
All right. Welcome back to Coffee and Conversations.
It's been a while.
It's been a little bit. And I would go as far as to say it's probably my fault. But we
we'll blame it on God.
I guess so. We had it. Just kind of catch you up on what's going on. We're trying to get back at this and slowly getting there, but at least we're back at it. And he's sitting here tonight, and I'm sitting here in the comfy home tonight. A little different background.
I'm actually house sitting this week. Yes. So.
And we really appreciate that. So, but here is the deal. And I'll do this quickly. I was trying to remember, probably April.
Our next podcast was supposed to be the week before Easter.
Well, I'm going to go with April 8th. It was on a Monday. I think it was, the following Monday after we had our final podcast. I show up to school and have disappointed. You unplugged it there. You went.
You have to unplug the dehumidifier.
Anyways, we had a. I go in Monday morning and I'm at school and I get out of the truck, walk to the front door, and I'm having a hard time breathing, basically. I can't breathe, like I'm a struggle getting breath. And. And I gained some weight, and I didn't know where it was coming from and how it was getting there and what was going on and all this stuff. And I just didn't feel well, and I was sweating pretty bad. And thank God the nurse was sitting right there at my office just talking to this other lady. And she looked at me and goes, "Man, you don't look good." I said, "I don't feel good. Like, I can't breathe. I don't know what's going on, basically." And she took my pulse and listened to my heart rate and listened to my heart. And she's like, "Dude," and she's like, "I don't mean scary, but you're going right now to the hospital." And so there we were. I was a little pissed. I'm gonna be honest with you. I was pretty upset over it.
No,
I ain't going to the hospital. Yeah, you are. She said. And the SRO that works with us is a great guy. His name's Corbett Shirley, and he said, "Well, she didn't take you, I'm taking you." And so it was like, okay. So we all get in the car, and they drive me literally two blocks down the road to the hospital. And basically, I was diagnosed with congestive heart failure and had fluid all over my body I didn't realize was there. And here we are. And I have now on medicines that I can't count. I'm on tons of medicines, but it's like it's just keeping the fluid off of me. And anyways, I'm on all the heart medicines that you don't want to be on. And I went and had a procedure done pretty quickly after that. They went through and did a heart catheter through my arm and got to the heart. And you know what they discovered? That it was only 15% blockage anywhere. Like, it was
nothing major.
Nothing major. It was pretty wide open, and he was concerned. He couldn't do anything about it. So we were in and out of there quick. But I was in AFib. Heart was racing. Boom, just going and going and going and going.
Yeah.
And so they had to put me under, do a scope to make sure I didn't have any, make sure I didn't have any clots anywhere, blood clots. And then they shocked my heart back into rhythm. They wouldn't let me leave the hospital unless they shocked my heart back into rhythm. I was like, "Well, let's do what we need to do to get done." And
so it was all a shocking experience.
It was, absolutely. And I'm still I'm on all these blood thinners, and so all these bruising is still like going away. Whereas I could get a bruise and go away pretty quick and whatever, but now it's like taking its time and it's told. I know probably several of you listening out here have had problems and know people that had problems and gone through it before, but it was just a eye-opening experience for me. It kind of woke me up a little bit, and now we're just on the road to trying to you know, take care of myself and, you know, get to a, you know, I would say healthier me more than anything else, and trying to cut back on sodium and sugar and carbs. So just all those things you're trying to do to get better and get healthier. And so I'm not 280 anymore, I'll tell you that. All that medicine they got me on is the diuretic that's going through me has got me down to, like, you know, I'm 260 now. So it's like a 20-pound difference from a month ago to now. Yeah. But it's not the healthy way to lose the 20 pounds. But anyways, it's nevertheless, it's down. I'm happy. But it's like I got a long road ahead of me, but it's just one of those things where I'm going to be every day just doing it and trying to get there and trying to get better. And I'm ready to get cleared so I could kind of do this little workout thing we got ready to go. I've been walking with Kathy and stuff. We've been doing that. But any other thing, though, I hadn't done and would like to get started on it. So anyway, it's all a part of God's plan.
Oh, yeah. Always.
Always.
Every minute.
Every minute of it. That's right. And, you know, I could sit there and I could see how people could get there and get to the point of going, well, I'm really mad at God. I don't know why this happened to me, you know. But it sitting there in the middle of it, I'm going, okay, here we are. I mean, it's just trying to, now we got to figure it out, you know, and keep moving forward and doing what we're doing, and we'll see what happens. So, but I've had a lot of people that's been supportive and a lot of concern and stuff like that's been cool. And so, but a lot's happened between there and there. I'm going back to Mineola. I'm going to be starting a different job, and that's not in the that's not a secret anymore. It's kind of one of those things that's out there. But I'm going to be working with their business, finance, and marketing pathway, and really have a great opportunity to work with kids and teach them about business and kind of. And I'm going to be learning as I go as well. So it'll be cool. A lot of good things are happening, and real happy about it. So looking forward to the summer. We've got 5.5 days left of school.
It's crazy.
5.5. And 5.5 days, kids will be parents' problems now, you know, for the rest of the summer. And so, which is fine with me. I like being with my kids. So, anyway.
Of course, too, your kids are going to camp.
Yes, going back to Lake Forest Ranch, and Zoe was there last summer, and Zoe will be there again. She is going to be doing a different role. She was kind of a half work staff or half counselor last year, and had some really cool experiences last summer. Loved it, wanted to go back, and they offered her the office job, which is right up her alley. She'll be good. She's kind of behind the scenes type of young lady, and then Lucy is applied and is going to be on work staff second half of the summer. So, and I was telling him earlier, it's going to be a brand new experience for that child. I'm not sure she's, she may be ready for it. She may love it. So I don't know. We'll see. But just knowing Lucy, that's, you know, there's some things that it's going to be eye opening for her.
Yeah. Work at camp is quite different than just everyday jobs.
It is. It's totally different, but it's an immersive type of, I like to call it an immersive type of job, where it's, man, you're there and you're all in.
Yeah.
Like, it's 24/7 there, you know, and you do get some sleep, but it's like, if you need to be called upon, you're called upon. It's, I just remember those summers being long but fulfilling, you know, and really and quick at the
really
same time. You know, I didn't really
wasn't work.
Yeah, I didn't find it as, I just realized it was, you know, when I got done with the summer, I hated it was over.
I can't imagine.
You know, yeah.
I can't imagine how fast the summer would go by at my age now.
Oh, it'd be,
when I was young.
It would fly, man. Even compared to being 18 and 19, 20 years old working out there. And I think I was 22 when I started the counselor's stuff. But now, even looking back over 30
years. I was half my age.
About 30 years ago.
That first year I worked.
So, and that's still amazing to me. They had pictures of 95 up on the site the other night. And so, anyways, some really cool stuff. I love being at Lake Forest Ranch and making Mississippi. If you get a chance to need a place to take your kids for a summer, a week of camp, it's a good place.
Yep.
Oh, well, our topic tonight, JT, I want to I think people have talked about this before in the past.
Yeah.
That there's only one way. What's the one verse that comes to mind when you think about the one way, right? And it's, I don't know, it is on here. Yeah, it is. Yeah, John 14:6 is the first. Well, the first verse that comes to my mind when I think about all this, and you mentioned there's no other way, is John 14:6.
Yeah.
I think that's the traditional verse of, hey, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me.
Yeah.
Or, but by me, whatever it is. Yeah.
Those are words in red.
That's Jesus speaking.
Yeah.
Right there. But I don't think that people, I think people out there believe that there's other ways.
Yeah.
To get to God. And my whole point is this, is that there is, within who God is, and what I've, in the last 30 years, I've tried to study and learn and grow, you know, and wrap my mind around this whole process of this relationship with God. One of the things I've learned that has really stuck with me is that, you know, if there's no other way, then why there are so many other things that people try to use to get to God? You know what I'm saying? And what's the purpose behind it all?
Well,
but when it's plainly, like, and I, because I believe the scripture, because I believe the word of God, because I believe what Jesus said is true, that has to be down the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Yeah.
That's the pathway to get to our relationship with God through Jesus Christ.
I think one of the major problems and the reason people believe there's other things is they don't realize what he's talking about, the way being.
Right.
And where are you going?
Right.
Most people think about it as, okay, he made a way for me not to go to hell.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's how you see it. I think that's part of the reason, and I'm going to go back to church here. Yeah, I mean, I'm always, yeah. You're always going to hear me reference that. And I'm sorry, this is the way it is. I'll go back to growing up in church where, you know, our salvation moments were these planned events almost, and to the point of where, you know, we're offering people's opportunities to come up and get saved. Well, God can do his work with us in any point, time, and place, no matter where we're at. It doesn't have to be in the walls of the church for salvation to hit you and believe.
Yeah.
Okay, there's many people. Paul was on the road to Damascus. He wasn't sitting in the temple. He wasn't listening to, you know, Caiaphas teach the Pentateuch. He wasn't receiving all that time. God showed up
in kind of a powerful way.
I mean, it just ambushed him out of nowhere.
Yep.
Okay. So I think the problem where death comes in a church is the fact that, you know, we get to I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then we believe this, right? What Jesus said. It's almost a get out of hell card.
And then our
relationship with God becomes, it's a Wednesday night service for an hour. It's Sunday morning, Sunday school for an hour, and then listen to a sermon for it. And 3 hours a week, we spend our lives thinking that's the best relationship with God that anybody can have.
Because we think Jesus died on the cross so that we could be religious.
See,
we were talking earlier, and probably most people wouldn't say it, but I think this is the way they look at it. God's sitting back, and Adam and Eve eat an apple.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do now? Messed up my plan. I'll show them.
No, that's good.
But no, this is plan A.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the cross was not a solution to a problem in the plan.
Right.
It was the plan.
It was the plan. That's right.
And the reason for that is that God was making people who were like him.
Right.
So that he could have intimate relationship with a bride.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's what we were talking about. No other way. And I don't, we ain't going to claim to understand why this was the only way, but we don't realize how important that relationship was.
Yes.
To the point of how serious the plan was.
Right. So good. Like, and the plan was detailed, and it gives, and even in Genesis 2, we see a detailed spot where God is resting from his work.
All of his work.
All of his. And it's not a, which, yeah, and it's on the seventh day, and it's, you've read this a thousand times. If you've gone and done any kind of, read through the Bible in a year, you've seen this. And you see it early because it's the truth. This is, you know, this creation has happened. And he creates man in his own image.
Yeah.
You know, and then he provides, you know, he ends up providing Adam with this woman. And then, but wait, before all that's done, look at what it says. On the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from
all his work.
His work, which he had done. Now, this is the critical belief point. This is where faith has, I mean, well, literally, this is where faith has to come in. And
this is the part that tells you that this is plan A.
Yeah. It's the thing is already done in his mind. This has already happened. This is
in spiritual.
This has to be worked out, right?
Yeah.
This is, and when I say worked out, this is happening, and he knows.
We just see the story being told. As Psalms,
he's omniscient. That's the big fancy word that you learn in seminary. Omniscience. He is all knowing. It's not like a.
He's not out here somewhere in his creation. His creation is.
I wonder how this is going to turn out.
No.
You think he's sitting over there thinking about that? No, he's not.
No.
Why? Why is he not thinking that? Okay, here's the picture. The cross is the cross to me, and I can say that. I think I can say this pretty boldly. Is, you know, he's wearing the shirt. It is finished. It's a finished work, right?
Right.
Where was that finished work coming from? Well, that finished work is back to this day of rest here. Yep. The cross provides us not just one day a week, right? But it provides us this access.
God created and entered into a perpetual
exactly
Sabbath.
That's
not one day a week.
Right now.
For all, and we can say all time, but he's not even thinking time wise.
it's a work which he had done from he's rested from all of it, which the perfect plan was to provide. Okay, you can say, okay, well, what about all this? How come all these things have happened? Well, it's a part of that plan that led us to the point where he goes, my son Jesus is going to be the only way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through him. I've given a very part of me, is what God is telling us here.
I'm going to make them a very part of me.
Yes.
So that they are like me.
And this is where, you know, I can say with all confidence that, you know, this life that he has given, put in us, right? Through the Spirit, he's given us this life through Jesus Christ. It's all this, you know, it's these three things that become one, right?
Yep.
And it emerges in our spirit and gives us everything that we need for life and for godliness. And you can, you know, those are the direct plan of him coming through there. So I don't know. If that fires me up, man.
Oh, yeah, because you realize how it's all possible.
Yeah.
Once you, if you ever believe that,
yeah, absolutely.
Then most other things will just fall in line.
I was, we started talking about this topic. When did we start talking about this? I don't know.
Weeks ago.
Weeks ago. But I was thinking about the topic, and I remember reading this verse. It might have been, I don't know, I don't remember what year camp it was or whatever, but probably my first year back as an intern after Kathy and I married. And anyways, I remember this, these Acts 4:12 verse, being so like me not noticing it before, you know, just having these revelations of these songs of things that I've, you know, the name of Jesus, that one, you know,
yeah,
the name of Jesus. Well, where did that song come from? It came from this right here, Acts 4:12. And so I'm just going to read Acts 4:12, but I'm going to kind of, what we call it, backwards mapping in the education world. Okay. And I'm going to show you what led up to this verse in Acts 4:12, which is a huge thing because it confirms what we've been talking about up to this point. You know, the reason God rested, he's given us this. When sin entered the world, Genesis 3:15, he makes the first comment about this providing a son to, in our stead, to stamp out sin.
Right.
Okay. So there is that verse. But then you go back to, you see all these other things that have happened. Read all the Gospels. He's lived his life. And here's Peter. And he's given some talking to going on. Okay. He is speaking to the folks. We'll mention who they are in just a second. But Acts 4:12 says, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
And he's talking to the elders and the religious leaders right here.
That's right.
They think keeping the law makes them okay with God.
Yeah.
And that's a relationship.
All right. He says, as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees came upon them. All right. So they take over the scene, basically, in 4:1. Right. Peter goes on, just like you were talking about, and greatly disturbed. They taught people and preached in Jesus.
I've been there before.
Yes, they were disturbed. The resurrection from the dead. They preached the resurrection from the dead. They're preaching that Jesus is no longer sitting in that tomb. That's a dangerous message for those Pharisees and Sadducees right there and the religious leaders of the day, because all of a sudden this movement has showed up. And
if he's no longer in the tomb, then he's who he said he was.
Exactly right, yeah. And so however many of those who heard the word believed. And this is verse 4. They talked about laying hands on them, put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. And however many of those, this is them arresting Peter, putting him in custody. This is however many of those heard the word believed, and the number of the men who came about were 5,000. Peter showed up. People were everywhere, and they're preaching the gospel to people. They're preaching this Jesus being resurrected from the dead, that he is no longer here, but he is here.
Yeah.
He is within us. Oof. Anyways.
Yeah, something I thought I remembered from something else I wrote down, that the disciples, one day Jesus was walking with them, and then a few days later, he's walking in them.
Mm.
Not among them, but in them.
Yeah, that's hot. That's good right there.
It fires me up.
That's good. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, who were listening to all this stuff and witnessing this stuff happening, that's why they took him and put him in jail. And he goes, Ananias the priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and as many as were the family of the high priest were gathered together in Jerusalem. What are we going to do about this? In the midst, they asked, by what power? This is now they're talking to Peter. They brought him before all this, like, panel of, it's almost like being in front of, if you could think about having to go before, what's the, well, you know, I'm thinking about all the people that have been, had to get, go before the committee,
ordained.
Senate. Going before the Senate.
The Senate.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes that Senate, they grill you on these questions.
Yeah,
this is sort of this picture right here.
Yeah.
You know, you think about this. They're getting grilled. And here's what the question is. By what power, what name have you done this?
Well, it had to bother them, the fact that 5,000 people believed. How did 5,000 people even hear him?
That's crazy. Yeah.
He ain't got no sound system.
He's got no sound system. But all of a sudden, these things are being heard, and people are turning and going, this has happened. This has happened. This has happened. Okay. Well, this has happened. You know, it's crazy. It's good. It's very good. He says, and this had set them in the he had set them in the midst, and they asked, by what power have you done this? It's verse 7. Verse 8 says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people, of elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that's where he says it, whom you crucified. You crucified him.
Yeah.
Okay. Whom God raised from the dead, and by him this man stands here before you whole. You hear that? By him this man stands before you whole. He's talking about.
And him saying that probably ticked them off. Because they want you to believe.
I am clean.
If you don't come to us and sacrifice your animals and do what we say.
I'm sorry, I just had the wind of God.
Yeah. You aren't clean.
No doubt.
That was in the face, that statement.
That's
what
when
they believe.
Yes, and that's where 4:12 comes in, and there's no salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given by men which we must be saved. He's saying, you know, to all the rulers, he's saying to, basically, he went back and told, it's Caiaphas, I mentioned him earlier, yeah. John, Alexander. He mentioned all these people and all these high priests, everybody were together. You don't do it. It's not about you.
You don't make the rules.
Well, guess what, folks? You don't save yourself.
You aren't the sheriff.
You're not the sheriff. You can't do that. I can't save you. JT here can't save you. We don't have that. That power.
We can't accept a gift for somebody else.
That's right. I can't make you believe it. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I got a little fired up and worked up in my heart.
This one may go longer tonight.
That's fine. Well, it's all right. But I think it's important. Simply because of the fact that, you know, we try to. I think, you know, I keep hitting this button and it keeps, I'm going to figure it out. Well, I'm old too.
And it's not a Mac, so. The mouse doesn't work the same.
But anyway, learning, there's all kinds of good stuff in here, man. All kinds of good references. But I'm just thinking about all this going, you know, bringing back to the whole thing is, we can't make this any other plan than what God has already made it. It's his plan, you know.
You brought up all the things, all the people looking for other ways and think there's other ways. All the other ways, so you got to work.
Right.
You've got to get your ducks in a row.
Mm-hmm. Line them up.
Then God will be okay with you.
Right.
As long as you're doing the right things.
Right.
Jesus is the only one that offers a free gift of grace,
mm-hmm.
and says, I will fix it. I will fix your problem. And it's not the reason I came was to fix your problem. The reason I came was so that we could have intimate relationship.
Go ahead.
Do we realize how the value that God put on intimate relationship with us. That he made plan A and made the way to do it.
Absolutely.
Adam and Eve had relationship with God. They did not have intimate relationship with God walking around in the garden. Because God, Jesus living in us, see, God wasn't around when they ate the apple. He was, but not in the. He wasn't there in the form of the relationship they had.
Mm.
Then they heard him coming. But intimate relationship with God is a permanent joining. He's a very part of me, and I'm a very part of him, and you can't separate the two. And that's a gift.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I got something for you there.
Go.
To finish, to back that up. This is really good, and I sent it to you. It's already in our notes, but I'm just telling you, Isaiah 53 right here. This is so good about it because when we talk about God's plan, this is a prophecy right here that's being foretold about what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
But here is God's take on what's happening and what's going to happen to Jesus. Okay. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Okay.
Pleased.
It pleased him to bruise him. He has put him to grief. And when you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. And by his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. By his knowledge, it says, that's not, okay, that's not a, if this is going to happen. And by his knowledge, when all the work was done,
yeah,
my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities, their sin. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with their transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for transgressors. And I'm just telling you, that is the formula to what was coming in the future. All right, and he's saying I'm going to go to this point with this as well, is that there's no other way for us to be saved but through Jesus Christ. He's not going to snip you out. He's not going to throw that wick and snip you out just because you lived and tried to find so many other ways to him.
Yeah.
Right? There's not going to be this wick that he's going to turn off.
Yeah.
But he's going to give you exactly what you need to give to him.
Yeah.
And like I said, it could be listening to this podcast. It could be just you being all of a sudden interested in reading the Word of God, and you see something that hits with your soul.
Yeah.
Who knows how this is going to work?
The thing here, I want to talk about it, even though this was originally going to be our message, our podcast before Easter, which is what got us thinking about it. And I got to looking, this is what got me off on the thinking about this wasn't a fix for a flaw in plan A.
Yeah, right.
And looking at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed. And see, there's an interesting thing. He was obviously praying out loud because was it Matthew and Luke wrote it down?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you go back to when he raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, the only reason I pray out loud so they can hear what he was saying.
All right.
He said, normally I don't. But I'm pray out loud so others can hear. And we always look at Jesus and think he asked God to take this cup away.
Right.
That's because we think about prayer as being a list of requests.
Right.
And not a conversation.
Not a conversation with God. Yeah.
This is a conversation with God about what's about to happen. And he's sitting, his body did not want to go to the cross. He'd had to have been crazy to have desired it in the flesh. But what he was saying there, he said he went a little farther, fell to his face and prayed, saying, "Oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." Now, you see, we take that as a line of a request. No, this is a conversation. If it's possible, let the cup pass from me. Nevertheless, here's the request.
Yeah.
Not as I will, but as you will.
As you will. That's good.
The request in his conversation was, my body doesn't want to do this.
Right.
And if it was possible, let it pass.
Right.
But he knew it wasn't possible. And for the joy set before him, that scripture just came to my mind.
Yeah.
He endured.
Endured.
The cross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To give us a free gift.
Yeah.
Of himself.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can have intimate relationship. The most valuable thing to God and to us.
Mm.
Intimate relationship. Being a very part of him. And I can't even imagine what that means when this body's gone.
Mm.
This veil that I wear around.
Nope. Crazy, but it's good.
If this body could see what we are in him, mm-hmm. it would fall over dead.
Fall over dead. That's right.
It has to be hidden.
Oh, my goodness. It's so good. Hebrews 12, I believe. I'm pretty dang sure.
You got a song.
I'm pretty dang sure that's what it is. It's been a while since I've sang that song. Hebrews 12. Yeah, that's...
For the joy set before him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame.
Plan A.
Sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12, 2.
And we're seated.
Yeah.
When he sat down, we sat down.
We sat down with him.
That's just...
Ooh, it's hot. That's good. That's real good.
It's not just a free gift to avoid hell.
It's a relationship, man.
It's not the cross wasn't so I could be a religious person.
Mm-mm.
It's so I could live.
It's so I could live. It's a relationship. It's so I could have life. Oof, that's good, man. It's real good. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I love this. I love this. This is a good one. All right. Who God, Galatians 1:4 said, who gave himself for our sins.
Yep.
Who gave himself. Endured.
Endured.
Endured it. Gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. Think about Paul saying that to the Galatians in the day that he wrote it. This is a present evil age I'm dealing with, Paul's saying here. Paul's giving them, hey, we are living in an evil age right now where Rome is trying to take over everything. We got this oppression going on. They're burning Christians in the streets. But he gave himself for our sins.
Shoot, the Jewish people chose Barabbas over Jesus.
Yeah. It's just crazy.
That's about as bad as you can get.
And we think about our present evil age here, right here and now. But that's the present evil age he's talking about is then.
That's because people
context. That's because it's yes.
People ain't changed.
It still happens. But you still have this way. The way to God through Jesus Christ is still possible today. Because of that. And if you go and look, I'll guarantee you there's in this Galatians 1:4, there's a aorist active tense in this verse right here that is perpetual. As you mentioned that word perpetual, it made me think of aorist automatically. But there is this aorist active tense in this intent in this sentence that says this is from the past, it's in the present, and it's in the future.
Yeah.
For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell.
Yes.
Right? Colossians 1:19. 20 says, and by him to reconcile all things to himself.
Yep.
And by him were the things on earth, things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Good. It is finished.
It is finished.
It's just more of
before the foundation.
That's Revelation 13.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know.
They're just saying we could go on this for hours.
Absolutely.
because we hadn't even touched on most of the verses we had on our notes.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I just get all fired up and just start rambling. But it's like
this, Ephesians 5:25.
So good. Listen, yes.
Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her.
Hmm. What did he do for her? He sanctified and cleansed her.
He made her okay.
He made her okay.
So that he had to have a spotless bride. Couldn't marry anybody else.
Nope.
So he didn't go out looking for one. He made one.
He made one. That's right.
Something that we were talking about earlier, just the thought struck me. This is for what it's worth. But can you imagine how important that intimate relationship is to God?
Hmm.
That he would make it possible that you might not choose it.
Whew.
It was worth that much to you and to him.
Hmm. Absolutely. That's good. Yeah, I like that.
That's a scary thought.
That's a scary thought, but it's...
But at the same time...
It is what it is there.
And Peter right. and all the other disciples are going to go on and show that because they believed it and they were willing to die. And they did die
mm-hmm.
because they wouldn't say, no, this isn't true.
Man, that's good.
I always wonder, do I believe this stuff enough that I die and not deny it?
Yeah.
I think Christ living in me would do that. My old flesh would be like, Jesus, I don't know if I want to do that or not. I would really rather it not happen, but the only way, no other way.
That's good. I feel like there's, I don't know, is all of the things that I think that, you know, the things I've taught, the things that I've done, you know, with the scripture to other people, there, to me, there's no other important message, you know.
Yeah.
And we talk about it all the time. We talk about intimate relationships. We talk about these things. We talk about it.
That's
every,
where we always get.
Always here, but it's always there. But it's, you know, it's, that's why the gospel message is so beautiful, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Because it tells us what happened and what the way is and how to get to it.
Yeah.
And how to be a part of this.
And it doesn't say, and it, do all these things and you might be okay.
There's not this huge formula, but it's what people have struggled with for so long is this word believe.
Yeah.
And the effect of what that word is for us when it, in result of faith. You know, and without believing, there is no faith. And what if you don't have any faith, there's
without
no belief.
Faith, there's no,
it's just, it's just what I'm saying.
Without faith, it's impossible to please God.
It's so good.
But what faith brings us is the one that pleased God.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is your whole perception of that is all, it comes into an understanding that this is, the moment of salvation, this whole, I guess where I'm getting at is this whole point is you come to the point of going, I feel that on the inside.
Yeah.
That's a swift, and it may feel like a kick in the rear end to some people. But man, I'm just going to tell you, I guarantee you to those who've been through hell and back, it's a taste of fresh water.
Oh, yeah.
Thirst, it quenches that thirst that's in the soul. You know, and it may take the swift kick in the butt to get you to that point to go.
Yeah.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man who takes his refuge in him. I mean, those are the things right there.
So important.
Yeah, so important.
So important.
Yep.
Woo. Don't get caught up on the road.
Yeah. It's good. I like that.
I'll keep my eye on the... where the journey is taking me.
Yeah.
Not on the journey.
That's good. Like that. Like that a lot. All right. So, any other things.
No other name.
No other way. Through Jesus Christ. That's good, man. Well, I guess I'm going to try to get some more videos out at some point. Oh, man.
Yeah, I think you put out a video the morning you were
headed. I did. I headed to the hospital on that. But I've got to get back on that plan because, I don't know, I feel like there's people ready to receive that message. There's people ready to receive this message that we've given tonight on here. We just need you to respond to the message. What is it to you, you know? How does this fly in your face, man? How's it settling on your soul? Because part of that is, you know, I hope it challenges you to think about what your relationship with God is like.
Yeah.
I hope that challenges you to go, am I living in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ?
Have I entered into this intimacy?
Into the Sabbath? Yes. Have I entered into that? Have I entered into this possibility that he has cleansed me and sanctified me? Yes.
Well, as he told the children of Israel, they've not entered in because of their unbelief. They didn't believe the land was theirs.
Mm.
They didn't believe the work was finished.
The work was finished, that's right.
That the walls had already fallen down. That the giants had been defeated.
They're so, that's good right there, but hot.
Get me fired up.
Yeah.
I just need to go take a nap after all the food we ate a while ago now.
That was good.
Anyway.
All right, man.
Let us hear from you.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think. Any thoughts?
Comments, yes. Perspective. Tap that bell on YouTube.
Share with your friends.
Comment on it. Tell us what you thought about it. Tell us what some questions you may have as a result.
I always hope people use these videos to start up a conversation with an unbeliever.
Oh, that's good, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, what do you think? Hey, listen to what these guys said. What do you think about what they said?
Mm-hmm.
That way you're not having to tell them something. It's somebody else saying it.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is that I mean, deep down inside, I want you to experience God intimately. I think that's
Christ might be made manifest in our mortal bodies.
Experience that life and that relationship that is possible for you, because let me tell you something, it is real, it is perfect, it is awesome, and I love it.
Oh yeah.
Especially now, these last 4 weeks, man, it kind of opened my eyes to this whole grateful.
This body might give up the ghost here.
And it's kind of crazy, but man, it's just, you know, just grateful for it. Anyway, yeah.
And
until next time.
Whenever next time is. You never can tell.